bill, extended period of time, and medical bills were beginning to sink in, and it may have been that that was the when he decided to go awry, or what I would regard as awry. I'm sure that in his own mind he's justified it all. By that time, of course, I had a long involvement with Kissinger, and I had pointed out that we needed to have a more orderly process in country, and that what we ought to have was a defense representative in country. Who would be able to, what shall I say, bring the various service mags closer together, and that the Secretary of Defense representative at NATO was a useful adjunct, and I suggested we have that. Well, it took about 6 or 9 months to persuade Henry that that was appropriate. First of all, he normally resisted this kind of thing simply for bargaining purposes. And secondly, he was not eager, I think, to have any dilution of State Department dominance, a point of view that I can understand, but the fact of the matter was that we needed more on-the-spot representative of what I'll call the highest policy position, highest policy perspective. And he, I don't remember when von Marbod went out there. It was
September 75.
It was after the fall of, he was our man in Vietnam for extricating equipment from Vietnam. It was after the fall of Vietnam in April of 75 that he became, in a sense, available. We had some months of argument. He went out there, you say, in the beginning of the fall. And his relationship with Halleck was very good, and then they got to squabbling with one another, and I don't know the details about it. I have not, happily, since it all occurred after I left the Pentagon, I didn't have to listen to a great deal of commentary on it.
I ask a question about the events that led up to that decision to send von Marbod. Now, between 73, you met with the Shah, and 75, when you met with him again, were there any discussions with high-level Iranian officials about arms sales and their locations?
General Tufanian was in.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times. It might have been 4 times, it might have been 8 times, but he... I remember that he was, in a sense, a regular visitor. That is, not every other month, mind you, but he came in with some regularity when he came to the United States and would see Tufanian. And, but I did not, I would reinforce, if I recall correctly, the points that I had made to the Shah, but I did not get into any detailed discussion, first of all, Tufanian. And that decisions in that country were not made by General Tufan, and in general they weren't made by anybody but the Shah himself.
I read that Assistant Secretary of Defense for ISA, Robert Ellsworth, became concerned about the issue of arms sales for Iran during the 74-75, apparently in March 75.
That's correct. It is correct that Ellsworth was concerned. I don't recall any dates in particular. Ellsworth talked to me. He was driven by one of the senior civil servants in the ISA, Glenn Blixted or some such name. I can't remember the name, but indeed Ellsworth was concerned. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be, but I shared the concerns, as I've indicated.
I was going to ask you about the study that you mentioned. Blixted did a study and the question currently?
That's right. I don't remember the details, but they, in general, the study raised the right questions. Was addressed to the right questions.
I read one thing that apparently the study by the International Security Affairs Office recommended that an office in ISA be set up to deal exclusively with Iranian affairs issues involving arms sales. Was that the case, or do you recall if that's the case?
I don't recall. I wouldn't be surprised. That tended to be the general solution.
A new office.
A new office.
But anyway, a result of these decisions was probably the decision to send Von Marburg as a representative, I guess.
There were a number of things mixed in together, kind of the Alex reports that there should be an official representative of the Secretary of the Defense there rather than an unofficial one who was on the, as an advisor. And Halleck had been given instructions that he was there as an advisor, that he was not to give instructions, and he did not abide by that, but he was in an advisory capacity rather than a policy capacity, and that one really needed to have somebody else out there. The services, quite naturally, were quite suspicious of Halleck and his role. By having a former Secretary of Defense representative out there, one could avoid some of those difficulties.
What were Von Marburg's general instructions?
The general instructions basically were what I've already indicated to you, that we are not engaged in attempting to fatten up a balance of payments. These people are supposed to pay full costs, however, in view of their earnings. The services are supposed to be there to provide real assistance to the host country rather than simply to facilitate sales, and that the services aren't to be engaged in dogfights and go out there and support the... There was, of course, some concern, I think, on Dick Helms' part. He got to like Von Marburg after a while, I believe, although you'd have to talk to him. But initially, he thought that this might in some way detract from the role of the embassy and the ambassador. Point on which I think I reassured him when he visited me in the spring of 75. He either embraced or acquiesced in the arrangement, and later on thought that it was very helpful to him. But of course you ought to talk to Helms on that rather than to me.
It's a good point, but apparently after Von Marburg arrived, the chief of Armish Mag, General Vandenberg, was pretty relieved of his post. Did you recall hearing about that?
I recall that, and I forget just what the problem was. But my recollection it was that it was a personal problem.
It wasn't a policy issue.
It may have had a policy element. My recollection is that it was a personal problem.